Well, friend, it is so good to see you. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. I am the friends part, so are you. We can be friends together on this Thursday, this May 28th, 2020. I am your host, Joey Kroll. So good to enjoy this cup of coffee here with you. In fact, I've been roasting my own coffee for about a year, year and a half now, and it's just absolutely fantastic. So it's really good coffee today. That's what I'm trying to say. Hey, I pray that you're having a blessed week. It's been a warmer week. That is for sure. It is coming down, yeah, to the end of the month of May. June starts next Monday. I'll tell you what, it's just it's been kind of I was telling our son, because he asked what day it was yesterday. Hang on, what day is it today? I said, I know, everything's just been a blur, and that really has been. Here we are. You blink, and it's already June. That is so true. Everything's just kind of been a weird blur the last couple of months. But regardless, it is an honor to be here behind this microphone and spending time with you on Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. And speaking of time flying, it's going to be here sooner than you think. It's the special trip to Pennsylvania. It's the Let Freedom Ring bus tour. It's a tour to Philadelphia coming up on September 27th through October 2nd. That's 6 days, 5 nights. Special deluxe motor coach to Philadelphia and back with some great hotel accommodations and meals. We'll have some great stops along the way as well. That is still on track to take place. We're, of course, going to make some great precautionary measures as well. But you are invited to be part of the Let Freedom Ring Philadelphia bus tour. That is still taking place, and there are still seats available for you. You can find out more details on that by visiting our website, greatnewsradio.org. You don't want to miss this wonderful opportunity. And with May coming to an end and a brand new month taking place here in the next couple of days, would you prayerfully consider helping us end the month of May on a great foot here at Great News Radio? Yeah, as you know, we are listener supported. And if you did not have a chance to send in a gift this month, you have just a few days to do so. You can give online at greatnewsradio.org, or you can give through the mail. That works as well. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And friend, you have the joy of knowing that you are doing your part to keep this ministry on the air. Think about this. Every testimony that you hear about God using Great News Radio, you will be part of, because you were part of God's plan of making that reality, making that testimony a reality. And so thank you for doing your part. Thank you for praying as well. You can also, again, give online, greatnewsradio.org, or send in a gift to Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. All right. Hey, don't go too far. Coming up here in just a few moments, we are going to be focusing on the Lord here today for Mark and Friends. We're going to be taking a look at the greatness of our God from Psalm 8, coming up after this here on Mark and Friends.
Through my disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain, or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing storm that rages, riches, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. With his hand to guide me, from temptation hide me, I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock, standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm, from all the storms that wages riches, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
So much for tuning in to Mark and Friends. Today it's the Thursday, edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. And friend, have you ever stood at maybe like a beautiful waterfall? Have you ever been at some on top of some mountain where you just had to take a step back and you were just in awe of our incredible God? Oh my, I mean, there's been several times that I've just been just speechless from his handiwork. And so today for Mark and Friends, we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to make up a word here, the awe-ness of God. So if you have your Bible, head on over to Psalm chapter 8. And David is writing this psalm. Now, David, I believe at this point in his life, he was a shepherd boy. He's just a little David being a shepherd boy. And being a shepherd boy, it was really kind of a lonely job, honestly. I mean, it was only you and the sheep. And so I can picture David as he's writing this psalm one night, maybe laying on his back, looking up at the stars. That looked like a chandelier right there in the Jerusalem countryside. And he was just in awe of the greatness of God. And in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What a beautiful beautiful psalm, Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. And David was just amazed by God's great name. Verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic. I think another translation says, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I'll tell you what, at this time and day, at the writing of Psalm 8, names meant something. Remember when God gave Adam the job of naming things and animals? When God told Abraham, then like at 100 years old, and his wife Sarah at the age of 90, that they would give birth to a son, she laughed. She laughed at him. Genesis 17 says that she laughed. And Sarah went on to give birth to a son named Isaac, which means laughter. Isaac grew up to have twins, and the first of the twins was Esau, which means hairy because how hairy he was at birth. And so naming meant something. See, friend, God's name reveals his character. God's name reveals who he is. God's name reveals his greatness. God's name reveals his attributes. I mean, God has many names in the Bible that just point to his character and who he is. Friend, did you know that you can go around the globe and there are just a handful of names that many will know about. I think of just instantly being from Chicago, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. He is a well-known name that just transcends Chicago, transcends Illinois and the United States of America. I was reading about a man by the name of Joshua Reynolds. He was well-known. He was a well-known artist back in the 1700s. And at the end of one of his lectures that he gave on art, he says, "And now, gentlemen, there is but one name which I bring to your attention. It is the name of Michelangelo." And so in all the spheres of art, science, and discovery, he went on to say, "There are names which rise peerless above all others, but names which are known in one land are unknown in another, or their right to distinction is often disputed." And he goes on to say, "You would not get universal unanimity about any one celebrity, however worthy. Only concerning Christ can it be said, 'How excellent is your name in all the earth.'" Friend, David was writing this, and he looked at God's great name. How majestic is your name in all the earth? And friend, he was not just focused on God's great name, but he saw God's great creation. The last half of verse 1 of Psalm 8, it says, "You have set your glory above the heavens." In verse 3, it says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." Friend, have you ever looked at God's creation and was just speechless? I mean, you try to take a picture of it, but it doesn't do it justice. You know what I'm saying? Friend, there's a place that, there's a couple of places that I've fallen in love with, and one of them is the Southern Hills of Tennessee. Have you ever enjoyed the hills of Southern Tennessee? It is absolutely beautiful. I go down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, roughly around that area, about maybe once a year, just to kind of have a spiritual retreat, to try to just kind of get away from work and ministry and responsibilities just for a few days and enjoy some of the hills and the mountains there. And there's a place called, it's right off the interstate there, I think on Interstate 24, called Lookout Mountain. And it's a popular destination there in Chattanooga. It is just absolutely gorgeous. I was there earlier this year before all the pandemic stuff happened, and I was on Lookout Mountain several times before, but this particular morning, it was just foggy. I mean, it was just absolute fog everywhere. But going to the top of the mountain, it was just amazing. Even though you couldn't see anything because it was so foggy, it was still so beautiful. I can't even explain it. I got a picture of it on my phone, but this is radio, so it doesn't work out that way. But just absolute fog. I mean, fog. Absolutely beautiful. David took a step back and said, "God, when I look at your heavens, as I look at creation, it's the work of your fingers, the moon and everything that you have set in place. I am amazed." There's a man by the name of Sir Isaac Newton who had an exact replica of our solar system made in miniature. And so one day as he was studying the model, a friend of his who did not believe in the biblical account of creation stopped by and says, "My Newton, what a fantastic thing. Who made that for you?" And without looking up, Newton replied, "Nobody." And his friend said, "Nobody?" He said, that's right. I said nobody. All these balls and belts and gears just happened to come together and wonder of wonders, and chance by chance they begin revolving and there's and set orbits and just which is perfect timing. Let's just say his unbelieving friend got the message. But friend, Newton's model was nothing compared to the vastness and complexity of the universe. Truly, God has displayed his splendor above the heavens. Think about this, friend. God has placed each and every star right where he desires. And the Bible says he knows them all by name. Friend, you cannot go outside and see the thing that you see, the sun, the sunrise, the sunset, the moon, and the stars, the mountains, the beautiful rolling hills of a mountainside, and say there's no creator. You can't. And in fact, in Romans 1:19, it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that he have made, so they are without excuse. Friend, God says that he made it plainly to them. His nature, his power, his attributes have been clearly seen. Friend, we are without excuse. Maybe that's why God says the fool says in his heart there is no God. How could you say there is no God? Just step outside. Friend, the sun rules the day, and its blinding light usually blots out anything else we might see in the heavens. But at night, we are overwhelmed by the display of the beauty from the moon, the stars, the planets, and the galaxies. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that if the stars came out only once in a century, people would stay up all night gazing at them. Mm. And so David was just amazed by God's great name. He was amazed by God's great creation, but he was just amazed by God's thoughts toward us. Verse 4 of Psalm chapter 8, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, David looks at the vastness of God's creation, God's goodness, God's power, God's awesomeness, and he saw that God flung out the stars, hung up the moon, scooped up the seas, heaped up the mountains, and set his glory above it all. Then David looked at himself. He felt so small, so insignificant, and says, who am I that even you even think about me, that I am on your mind? And friend, let me tell you something. You are on the mind of Almighty God. Friend, that is a biblical statement. In Psalm 139, as David is writing this as well, in verse 1, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You searched out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Come on now. David was just overwhelmed as he was writing in Psalm 139 and verses 17 and 18. He says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. As we're studying Psalm 8 today, David was just overwhelmed that this great creator God had him on his mind. So David was amazed by God's great name. It's a beautiful name. He was amazed by God's great creation. He was amazed by God's thoughts toward us. And friend, he was also amazed that God would even crown us. Verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 8, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Though for a little while set lower than the angels, man's destiny is one day to be crowned with a glory and honor that surpasses even the angels." Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive." God made us alive together with Christ. "By grace you have been saved, and raised us up," listen, "and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This speaks of our position in Christ. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Friend, God is so good to us. He is so good to us. Bible says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." As David is writing this psalm in Psalm 8, he was just amazed by God's great name in all of the earth. He was amazed by God's great creation. He was amazed by God's great thoughts toward us. He was amazed how God crowns us. Friend, I encourage you today on this Thursday to take a step back. Hit the pause button and take a step back and smell the spiritual roses and meditate on the greatness and the awe-ness of God. Meditate on his great name. Meditate on the works of his fingers. Soak in the reality that he thinks about you and how he crowns you, and see if it won't lead you to worship our great God. Worship him today, because he is worthy. Until next time, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.